So today is Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, and is one of my favorite Sundays because it was through the Divine Mercy that I really came more deeply into my faith and even found my calling to the priesthood, or at least the beginnings of that journey. So it's a very meaningful celebration for me, the amazing love and mercy of God, which we see in that image over to the side there, that divine mercy image of Jesus with the rays coming forth from his heart. And it shows that tremendous mercy that God pours down upon us and how he's calling us, especially in this time, to a greater depth and mercy in his love, to know that we are forgiven, to know that we can turn to him in the sacrament of reconciliation, and to know that he is there to endure with us through our sufferings and to guide us into heaven. And I find myself in a bit of a peculiar situation because I'm going to be preaching in a direction that I had not initially expected due to many current events that are going on, but I think is so tremendously important to speak about today. What I want to talk about is still God's mercy, but from the aspect of more what God's mercy is not, to understand better what God's mercy is by seeing the opposite. Because God's mercy is not about abolishing all suffering, though in the end, that is ultimately what God will do in heaven. But in this life, as we find is the case, there is suffering. We're met with this reality in this life of there being suffering all around us. Here below, on earth, we find that suffering transforms us. And so God really works through our experiences in life to transform us into saints through our suffering. The greatest testament of this is how Jesus appears to his apostles. We hear in the gospel how he comes before them and he immediately shows them his hands and his feet and his side, and does the same to Thomas as well. He shows them these wounds, which we would think Jesus has risen. He's risen from the dead. You would think that that would all be gone away, that that triumphant resurrection of the dead would eliminate what he went through. But yet he bears those wounds. In fact, there's an image that, I can't remember where it is, but a painting, a very famous painting, where we see what appears to be Jesus standing with the devil hanging over his shoulder, who's just whispering in his ear, and it looks very malicious and disturbing. And I remember when I first saw it, I'm looking and thinking, why on earth is Jesus listening to the devil? I do not understand what's going on here. Until you look more closely and see that he has no wounds. There are no holes in his hands or his feet. He is standing there triumphant and victorious only. And this is an indication to us that it is truly the Antichrist, one who appears as Jesus, but is not truly him. In fact, it is someone who is just a fraud. It is the devil. And that is why he is listening to the demon over his shoulder. And so these wounds are a testament to what Jesus went through. Many people shouted out to him on the cross, you know, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you come down? There he is suffering endlessly on the cross. And he could have ended it. He's God. He could have lessened his suffering, but he didn't. He endured it to the end. Because imagine how the story of the mercy of God would have changed entirely if Jesus had come down from the cross, if Jesus had simply vanquished his foes, if he had healed his wounds, or even so, maybe not even going through them to begin with. you would lose the mercy of Jesus. How important that is to recognize. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning all of this is that recently, as you may have heard, there has been a upcoming this decision of the Supreme Court of Canada to discuss euthanasia. This is going to be a law that would be passed forward. They've been holding back on it for a time, and in June, they're going to come to a decision. And that's not all. The federal government has decided not just to examine the issue of euthanasia, but also to present a number of other options. And I don't mean options as an alternative, but I mean more ways in which people can receive this mercy killing, as people call it. Some of the changes, if it went through, would permit minors to be able to receive euthanasia. Those under 18 could be euthanized. Those with mental health issues, any psychiatric issues, for those reasons, could be euthanized. It would also legally require that Catholics in hospitals, Catholic hospitals, would have to provide euthanasia. There would be no option. These are some of the options that are being presented forward this June in our courts for what is going to happen in this country. And so, to speak a little bit on that, because I think it is so tremendously important to really consider what this mercy is about. Is it really, truly a mercy in those situations? Because I think that whenever people are suffering, and we all know and see the tremendous difficulty of others suffering, or maybe for ourselves, but those of you who have endured very strong suffering know that we tend to get tunnel vision at those times. You become focused only on the pain and can see nothing else. And if someone were to present you with an option to say, I could relieve you of your suffering and give you the option of death, how quickly many people would take it, simply because it is a way out. But we don't hear as much about the testimonies of those people who've come out of it on the other side. Those who did not have the opportunity to be euthanized, who were going through tremendous suffering, and then after the fact, managed to get better and said, how terrifying a thought it would have been if someone had given me that option, because I would have taken it. And I know now that it's passed, I would be so sorry for my family, for myself, for everyone. Or what about in situations of those with mental illness, say someone who is depressed? I know that I've had experiences in my life of people who have committed suicide. And I can tell you that never once did I think of that those people that, you know, at least their suffering is over. At least they're not in that mental anguish. None of us thought those things. But rather, we were so sorrowful. If only we had known. If only we could have helped them. If only we could have done something to get them the help they need so that they didn't have to have recourse to this. Those were the kinds of real thoughts that we have in our heads, and yet presented in many countries is this case of euthanasia for those who might be undergoing depression. And instead of helping them, saying, well, here you go, if you'd like to end it, we will help you. And then we call it mercy killing. But the thing is, no matter how we package it, killing is killing. And there's no mercy in that. There is never mercy in that. Remembering the suffering of Jesus on the cross, he showed us how to suffer. He showed us that his mercy is to come down with us. He says, I know what you have been through. I know what you're struggling with. call on me. Call on my name. Jesus, yes, brought healing to many people. We even hear in the first reading that the disciples were going out and healing all kinds of people. The Lord calls us to healing. Yes. Wherever we can, heal. Bring refuge from suffering. But don't kill. That's never a solution. We need to remember that even in this image of the divine mercy of Jesus, this very image which is to typify the mercy of God, those rays coming forth from his heart are clear and red to symbolize the blood and the water which poured out of the heart of Jesus on the cross when he was pierced with a lance. His mercy came through the suffering. That's where it was found. And I think we really need to stand up to think about these issues, to really consider them, and to come forward and to speak about them. In fact, our bishop has issued a letter, which you will find in the bulletin, a letter which describes what I have described, what's going to be happening in this coming June, and has made an appeal to us to all contact our MP to let her know how we feel about this, because our voices need to be heard. Because if we don't speak, our silence will be condemning us. I think we have a real opportunity, and the bishop agrees, we have a real opportunity to turn this around at this point if enough voices make themselves known. And so I think that this is not only a good thing to do, but I think we have a moral obligation, I would dare say, to contact our MP. And if you're worried about, if you think you have any excuse not to, the information is all in the bulletin. The address to the House of Commons is in the bulletin. And in fact, you don't even have to pay postage to the House of Commons. It's all free. Write a letter, sign the envelope, put it in the mail. Doesn't have to be complicated. Just express your disapproval. That's all you need to do. You can write more if you want, but that's all you need to do. And I would just like to conclude with a reading from the diary of Saint Faustina. So this is the diary of Saint Faustina. As you can see here, the image on the front here is that image of the Divine Mercy. She was a little Polish nun, for those of you who didn't know, from whom she received these images from Jesus, where he appeared to her like that image. And he talked to her about this great mercy. And in this diary, her spiritual director had her write down her experiences and visions with the Lord. And the things that he said to her are all recorded down in here. And there's just one passage I want to read, which I think speaks very much to how we really become robbed of our opportunity to become saints if we try to end our lives so as to eliminate suffering. So this was at the new year in 1938. Where she wrote this. Welcome to you, New Year, in the course of which my perfection will be accomplished. Thank you in advance, O Lord, for everything your goodness will send me. Thank you for the cup of suffering from which I shall daily drink. Do not diminish its bitterness, O Lord, but strengthen my lips that, while drinking of this bitterness, they may know how to smile for love of you, my Master. I thank you for your countless comforts and graces that flow down upon me each day like morning dew, silently, imperceptibly, which no curious eye may notice, and which are known only to you and to me, O Lord. For all this, I thank you as of today, because at the moment when you hand me the cup, my heart may not be capable of giving thanks. So today I submit myself completely and with loving consent to your holy will, O Lord, and to your most wise decrees, which are always full of clemency and mercy for me, though at times I can neither understand nor fathom them. O my Master, I surrender myself completely to you, who are the rudder of my soul. Steer it yourself according to your divine wishes. I enclose myself in your most compassionate heart, which is a sea of unfathomable mercy. I am ending the old year with suffering and beginning the new one with suffering as well. 2 days before the new year, I had to go to bed. I was feeling very bad and a violent cough was weakening me. And together with this, a constant pain in my intestines and nausea had brought me to the point of exhaustion. Although I could not join in the community prayer, I united myself spiritually with the whole community. When the sisters got up at 11 o'clock at night to keep vigil and welcome the new year, I had been writhing in agony since nightfall, and this lasted until midnight. I united my sufferings with the prayers of the sisters who were keeping vigil in the chapel and atoning to God for the offenses of sinners. When the clock struck 12, my soul immersed itself most deeply in recollection as I heard a voice in my soul. Do not fear, my little child. You are not alone. Fight bravely, because my arm is supporting you. Fight for the salvation of souls, exhorting them to trust in my mercy, as that is your task in this life and in the life to come. After these words, I received a deeper understanding of divine mercy. Now, what would a Saint Faustina become if she had not been willing to endure that suffering for our sake as well?